Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series.
My guest today is Kehan Ashtiani. He is Corporate Vice President and General Manager of Atomic Layer Deposition and Chemical Vapor Deposition Metals in Lam's Deposition Business Unit. Kehan has more than 30 years of experience in technical and management roles working on a variety of semiconductor tools and processes. Welcome to the podcast, Kehan.
Hi, happy to be here.
So first, to get started, let us know how you got interested in the semiconductor industry. You know, how did you make your first venture into semiconductors?
Yeah, I started my graduate school at University of Wisconsin-Madison. At the time, NSF, National Science Foundation, had these excellence centers around the country that each would do a certain area of research, and they would get funding from NSF, and the industrial partners would match those funds. And as it turned out, University of Wisconsin-Madison had this center called Plasma-Aided Manufacturing. And this was, as I said, it was NSF-funded center, that their area of research was to apply plasmas to applications in semiconductor devices. And I started my grad school at Wisconsin and became part of the center. And my PhD thesis was centered around doing research of plasmas used in manufacturing of semiconductor devices. So that's how it started. And upon graduating from UW, I started working in industry, and I've been here for, as you said, 27 years.
Great. So what challenges do semiconductor manufacturers face in the metallization phase of fabrication? You know, do NAND, DRAM, and logic each have unique challenges?
Yeah, each device has their own challenges in terms of metallization and how metals get integrated in these devices. But in general, the idea of metallization in semiconductor devices provide the interconnect where we connect millions and billions of transistors on a device together such that they can communicate and the signals traveling through these interconnects and we essentially extract information from the devices. So the role of metals, whether it's memory or logic, is essentially in making that interconnect such that we can communicate with the transistors, you know, in the order of billions on these devices. So the challenge, obviously, when it comes to metallization, you know, as the term is familiar with everybody, metals, it conducts electricity. The challenge comes how to conduct electricity in the most efficient manner without much resistivity or generation of heat, and essentially generating, moving the signals along the interconnect at the lowest resistance possible. That's the general challenge for all devices, be it memory, NAND, DRAM, or in logic and foundry for metallization. And that challenge continues because as we put more and more devices in semiconductor chips, that means the interconnect becomes more and more intricate and smaller in dimensions such that we can connect all these devices together. So, and that dimensionality, decrease in dimensionality, provides challenges for metals to conduct electricity without generating too much heat or creating issues for the signal transfer. So that's really the metallization challenge about this dimensional scaling that happens in semiconductor devices and how we cope with that such that we continue scaling and put more and more capability in semiconductor chips.
Right. So moly has emerged as the metal to replace tungsten in certain applications. What benefits could this bring, and why is a transition from tungsten needed now?
Molybdenum in general is a metal that provides better conductance or lower resistivity for electricity to travel through it. That's a very general statement about molybdenum versus tungsten. That comes from two factors, what we call bulk resistivity of the material. This is something that's measured at large dimensions when you essentially measure resistivity of the metal and you compare, let's say, tungsten and moly, molybdenum, and molybdenum has lower resistivity, therefore it can conduct electricity better. So that's a bulk resistivity concept. But as I said, dimensionally, these devices are getting smaller and smaller. So comes into play this concept of what we call thin film resistivity, because as these bulk metals become thinner and thinner, such that we can, you know, scale them to these devices that are extremely small, there's another factor that comes into play, that resistivity of the metal compared to its bulk resistivity increases as it becomes thinner and thinner. And that's mainly because the scattering of charge carriers, in this case electrons, in the metal. It's similar to thinking of a highway where you're, you know, a lot of cars are through traffic are driving through it, but if you make that highway narrower and narrower, then the you know, the flow of traffic is impeded because you don't have as much room, I guess, to, you know, have enough cars going through. If you think about electrons as those cars in a highway, that the metals provide that highway, as it becomes smaller and smaller, resistance of that metal goes up. The electrons can't travel as fast. So that becomes an issue. Because of those two issues, molybdenum becomes very attractive compared to tungsten in applications where dimensions are small enough that, you know, these dimensionality plays a role, making the thin film resistivity going higher. So that's why molybdenum comes into play, replacing tungsten in certain applications, obviously not in all applications, because dimensionality of all features are not the same in a semiconductor chip.
Great. Can you talk about some of the innovation required to make it viable for high volume manufacturing? I mean, why was this difficult?
As dimensions in semiconductor devices become smaller and smaller, the traditional methods of deposition of metal changes. It's if I look 20 years ago, physical vapor deposition was a very common technique to deposit metals in semiconductor chips. And then chemical vapor deposition came along as the dimensions started shrinking. That gives the ability to do better filling of features with metals inside these semiconductor chips. If you think about features as these trenches or holes to be filled, as they get smaller, things become more difficult. In the past 15 to 20 years, the industry has moved towards a method of deposition we call atomic layer deposition. And as the name suggests, we deposit these metals one atomic layer at a time, essentially, in these lines or contact holes to ensure that these lines and contacts are filled with metal and no areas are left of void, because obviously voids don't conduct electricity. So atomic layer deposition has become a general technique. And with it, if you think about the term atomic layer deposition, deposition of metals one atomic layer at a time, you can automatically think about the challenges that that brings along. One is in terms of efficiency of this process, how good it is to fill these features. And second, as soon as we say one atomic layer at a time, you start thinking, well, this process is going to be probably slower than other methods to reach a certain thickness of metal that you're depositing. So those two challenges are something that we always address when we do atomic layer deposition. I have to mention that Lam pioneered atomic layer deposition of metals in the industry in high volume manufacturing 20 years ago. So we started with tungsten ALD about 20 years ago, and that evolved into about 10 years ago into what we call LFW tungsten. And then past that point, just about 5 or 6 years ago, we started doing ALD, atomic layer deposition of MALDI. And with that knowledge, there are certain techniques that comes into design of the tool that deposits the film, the architecture of the tool from a hardware perspective. And then there are challenges that come in terms of processing of the metal to deposit the films on the substrates. Both of those challenges are things that we've worked on for the past 5 to 6 years to bring ALD MALDI into HVM manufacturing.
Okay. Lam's Altus Halo tool is central to enabling the MALDI-based metallization at scale. What makes this tool unique? You know, how does it support the demands of advanced semiconductor manufacturing?
The Altus Halo, similar to many of our deposition tools, is what we call an architecture that's called QSM, Quad Station Module. That means within each of these modules or chambers, we have four stations that individually can process wafers. The ability to have four wafers processing at the same time, and if you think about what I mentioned about atomic layer deposition being in general a slow process that gives us the ability to actually accelerate the process, having four stations within one chamber. So that inherent architecture design, QSM, quad station module, is something that Novellus came up with more than 25 years ago. Novellus and Lam merged about 10 or 11 years ago, and Lam is essentially chamber, so that architecture. So that architecture enables us to do a fast deposition of ALD for moly. But there are specific technologies that we've developed for this tool that are specific to molybdenum or moly. One is that all these deposition techniques, or whatever we're depositing in metals, be it tungsten or moly, the source of the metal itself comes from a precursor, a chemical precursor. In the case of tungsten, that chemical precursor, it comes in a liquid form, easy to deliver it to the chamber and deposit the film. In the case of moly, the precursor, the chemical precursor, comes in a solid form. And a lot of innovation was required for us to enable solid precursors in a HVM environment, high volume manufacturing environment, such that we can run these processes day in, day out, and deliver reliably the amount of precursor needed to the chamber such that we can deposit the film. So that was a big innovation in terms of bringing a solid precursor at the volumes that are necessary in HVM with molybdenum. The second part that comes is that solid precursor needs to become to become a gas such that we can deliver that. So there is a delivery technique where we have to heat the solid to sublimate it, essentially provide the gas in a gaseous form in the chamber, which requires that delivery to be sophisticated enough to, again, reliably deliver the precursor to the chamber. And then finally, comes as part of the hardware innovation, comes the ability to deposit the film via ALD, and does require techniques of ALD in terms of the hardware itself, such that we can repeatedly wafer to wafer, chamber to chamber, deliver this material and deposit the films. So those are, from a hardware perspective, a lot of innovation has gone into it. Partially, those innovations came from our knowledge of many years of doing ALD with tungsten. So, you know, those techniques were implemented for moly as well. And then some new innovations because the material is different. The third challenge of this material is that the precursor itself is a very corrosive chemistry. And if enough precautions are not taken, that becomes an issue in terms of contamination for depositing a pure moly film, to get the lowest resistivity possible without damaging the rest of the semiconductor chip. And that's a third part of the innovations that has gone into developing Altus Halo. And then finally, when it comes to the process itself, the steps that we take during the ALD process, there is a lot of innovation involved there. And that, to some degree, is specific, whether we do memory, DRAM, NAND, or logic. Each area requires innovation in its own to ensure that not only the film is deposited properly, but also is integrated with the rest of the processes in semiconductor chip manufacturing without issues. So all of those over many years that we've been working on moly, and we pioneered moly in the industry, has gone into design of Altus Halo, creating a differentiated product for Lam.
No, interesting. So final question, Kahan, is how is customer adoption shaping up? You know, will the transition to moly be limited to 3D NAND, or will it touch all the device types you work with over time?
All device types will be impacted by adoption of moly. From a timing perspective, looking at these various applications in NAND, DRAM, and logic, it appears the first applications in NAND are starting earlier than others. And we are at the point that we've been evaluating our moly process and our Altus Halo tool with our customers. It's at a point that the NAND manufacturers are in various stages of beyond CNF, what we call concept and feasibility. Beyond that stage, they're either in pilot qualification or in ramp for high volume manufacturing, or in high volume manufacturing. So NAND has become the first adopter of Mali, and that's sort of understandable in terms of the requirements of the device for NAND. Next is logic. In certain areas of logic, what we call middle of the line applications in logic, where there is this transition from tungsten to Mali that's happening. And again, that's because of the requirements of logic to look for the lowest resistivity possible. Just as a figure of merit to, you know, for the audience understand what the impact of Mali is, if I compare a system of tungsten that deposits tungsten in a certain device or a certain contact and compare it with Mali, the resistance of that contact, you're able to reduce that by about 50% or higher compared to tungsten. And that's very, very significant in terms of device performance. When we think of metallization, you're always thinking you can speed, and speed translates how fast we can run these devices. And, you know, be it artificial intelligence applications, be it high-speed I/O, be it cloud, even in areas of streaming, all of these devices with semiconductor devices, we're always looking for faster and faster in performance. And therefore, a contact that lowers the resistance by 50% is a significant achievement to improve the speed of the device. So it appears that logic is following very closely in terms of adoption of Mali into the devices. And then finally, DRAM will follow later on as the DRAM transitions from what we call a 6F squared device to 4F squared device. That refers to how the integration of the device is done and the size of the chip in DRAM. And as that transition happens from 6F squared to 4F squared, we expect Mali to be adopted in DRAM as well. So as you can see, all devices, memory and logic, are impacted or will be impacted by Mali and the benefits that Mali brings in terms of lowering the resistance.
Great conversation. Thank you, Kaon. Hopefully we can have you back again on a different topic.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate participation. Looking forward to it.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.